So this morning I just wanted to talk, over the next, this week, next week, and then we've got Will coming, but we want to talk on a series, on a subject called Simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. Because there's so much that we get involved with or get sidetracked into or distracted by, even in our Christian walk. And it's good to come back simply to focus again upon the wonderful, incredible person of who Jesus is. And he is the very core of our faith and our belief. And he really is a wonderful God. And I guess the what I want to get out of this morning really is for us again to be in some way just moved on slightly in our awe and wonder and excitement and love and passion for God. With everything else stripped away. Because I don't know about you, but I have a great habit of making life very complicated. When actually life really is very simple. Especially for us as believers and those that are following Jesus. And so Simply Jesus is the title of my message today. And it's going to be just looking at some of the characteristics of who Jesus is. Is that okay? Yes, okay, fantastic. Is there anything that you've seen or experienced that has amazed you? Alex is like, yeah. Like, anything in particular?
Yeah, the birth of my children.
Woo! That is an amazing experience. I remember actually walking through Crawley the day after our first child was born and saluting in my mind to every woman that walked by me, saying, man, I respect you. How did you do that? That was a life-changing moment for me, that was. Yeah, having children, yeah. Anything else? There are lots of things, aren't there, that we go through.
Seeing I think it was a man being healed out of a wheelchair and walking and running.
Wow.
And just seeing that and then dancing with him later, that was a real eye-opener of the presence of Jesus.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Seeing somebody get out of a wheelchair. Amazing. So there are things that we see, aren't there, around us. And I'm sure all of you are kind of just thinking about certain things. But it got me thinking about actually how amazing is our God, the God that we worship. And just the simple fact of who he is. This wonderful God. Everything stripped away, everything uncomplicated, just looking at the simple facts of who he is. And when I read the Bible, I see that there are many, many times and many accounts where it is written that people were amazed at Jesus. And so this morning I want to talk about just about that idea about being amazed at Jesus. Because I think he is so incredible and so wonderful and so full of grace, so full of love, so merciful, and we could just go on and on and on, that actually he's more than enough for us to be amazed by. Do you understand what I mean? And it's so easy sometimes just to even to take God for granted. I don't know about you, but I do. I take God for granted and I take his love for granted. But actually, when I take time to think about it, wow, actually, what he has done for me, that I have been totally and completely forgiven of all the wrong that I've done in the past, washed white as snow. I don't have any guilt or shame anymore because he's taken that away. And it's not about me trying to do something out of works, but because he's done it all for me. So it's by grace that I live. And I take these, I get up in the morning and I don't have to feel the judgment of God upon my life because now I know that God's favor is upon me. Not because of what I've done, but because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? But we get up, put our clothes on, go to work, sometimes not even recognizing and coming simply again just to say, wow, God. Wow. Wow, you're amazing. Uncomplicated. Just in love with him. And so I want to look at some different aspects just of God's character this morning, just a few things. And not even actually going to touch upon his death and his resurrection, which in and of itself, they're foundational, aren't they, to what we believe. I mean, those are things that we could just talk about in and of themselves, but I'm not going to look at those. But as I say, so that we can just in some small way grow in deeper love and appreciation for him. Do you want to look in Luke 4 with me? Luke chapter 4. So the first thing I want us to look at is how people were amazed at the teaching that Jesus gave. Luke 4 verse 22, it says, "And all spoke well of him and were amazed." Can you say amazed?
Amazed.
Amazed, yeah, very good. "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. 'Isn't this Joseph's son?' that they asked." So people were amazed at his teaching. I wonder, are we amazed when we read the Bible of the teaching, the love, the things that are expressed in God's word? They were amazed. You know, there were many rabbis and many teachers and many prophets, many people at that time that were teaching and had influence at the time. So there were no shortage of religious teachers, but there was something about Jesus. There was something about Jesus that was different. You know, I guess it's, you know, there are so many things in this world, so many voices, so many different things, but there's something unique, special, powerful about the Jesus that we worship. He's not just another voice. Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29 says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." So they were amazed because they looked at, they heard Jesus speak and they said, wow, this guy is different to other people that we've heard. He taught with authority. He taught with something that was different to the other teachers around. And actually that authority came because he was God, wasn't he? He was God. He was the Son of God. He was the Word of God that had come in flesh. And this brought amazement to those that were listening to him. So what about us? What about you? I'll ask again. Are you amazed at Jesus? Yes. When you read the word of God? You know, to actually be amazed, we've got to read the word of God. And so I'd encourage you again. We had a fantastic message by Jonathan a couple of weeks ago about the secret place. Did you hear that? I thought that was a fantastic message, and it is on the website, and I really would encourage you to listen to that if you haven't listened to it, because it's a great encouragement about spending time reading God's word, but not just spending time reading, but praying and listening and hearing also what he is saying to us. Spending time with God is so important. You know, when you take that time and make that effort, you know what? You will be equally amazed as you read. And it doesn't matter actually how long you've been a Christian for. because you can have read the whole Bible 100 times and still read those scriptures and still come up with something you've never seen before. Is that true?
Yeah.
It is true. Yeah, it is. And the Holy Spirit highlights something, and you kind of like, oh, let me go and look at that. And then you go off, and it's a fantastic adventure. So we've got to be reading the Word of God to be amazed at it. So I'd encourage you to do that. And also, when you come to read, let's come with an attitude of, wow, God, what do you want to say to me through this Word? Make them alive to me. That's a good prayer to pray when we come to God. And it really is one of the key things that we can do. If we want to be strong as Christians, and you want to be strong in your marriage, and we want to have a strong church, then one of the key factors is that everybody spending that time just in God's Word, getting encouraged, being amazed at Him. It's very simple, isn't it? But I think actually the more we can be amazed and just in love with Him and focused upon Jesus, the more fruitful and easy, in one sense, that our lives become. So, the Bible apparently is the world's bestseller. That's right, isn't it? The world's bestseller. No other book has sold more copies than the Bible. And when you read this Word, just as well think that there's no other person in history that has ever had so much influence over so many people and over history than this Jesus that is contained in this book. That's enough in itself to be amazed. He's your God. He's the one that we come to worship. Just let's keep it simple. Simply Jesus. Another thing, so they were amazed at his teaching. Another thing that people were amazed was about his power and his authority. Jesus' power and authority. And there was the story in Luke 5, which is the story of the paralyzed man. You know that story. And his four friends, they take the man, the paralyzed man, and Jesus is preaching. And there are so many people there in the house that they can't get to him. So they go and they dig out the roof and they lower him down. And then Jesus sees what's going on, and he sees the faith of the friends, and he says, then he looks at the man, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. I don't know if it's So when he saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven, to the man who was paralyzed. That didn't go down well with the religious leaders of the time. They went mad. Who are you? Sorry, Lisa. Lisa walked in and I looked at her and said, who are you? That's Lisa, everybody. Yeah. They went mad because they said, who are you? Only God can forgive sin. What are you doing saying that? But actually, they were absolutely right. This was God. He was able to forgive sin. They didn't recognize who he was. Verse 24. Jason's, I'm really testing you today. Verse 24 says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Wow, they were amazed. He has power to forgive sin. You know, that's good news, isn't it? For you and for me. That he has the power to be able to forgive sin. Is there anybody here who's ever sinned? Kevin's the only one who's not got his hand. Oh, no, he has got his. Oh, he's got two. We've all sinned, haven't we? All of us in this room have sinned. And at one point, that sin separated us from God. But you know, Jesus has, we've just seen that he has power to forgive sins. He has power to forgive us of the things that we've done wrong. And by accepting him and turning away with his help and asking his forgiveness, we can know that cleansing, washing, and that forgiveness of God. Because he has the power to do it. Only he has the power to do it. This is amazing. He's an amazing God. And so I want you to think again. Have you been forgiven?
Yes.
Let me ask you again. Have you been forgiven?
Yes.
Now, just think how amazing that is. Just think. How incredibly rich and wonderful and powerful that is, that we've been forgiven. It's not about what you can do, but it's about you putting your trust in what he has done on the cross on our behalf. Wow. Keep it simple. Remember what Jesus has done. Luke 9, verse 42. Let's go there. Are you still with me? Luke 9, 42. Okay, this is about Jesus casting out an evil spirit from a boy. It says, even while the boy was, so this is 42, even while the boy was coming, a demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. I think that is on verse 43. And they were all amazed. And, you know, there we must never forget that we have an enemy. And the enemy is out to take you out. You know that. But we don't need to fear. We don't need to worry. Jesus demonstrated his love by coming and dying on a cross. He loves you so much. But we have an enemy equally that is out, as I said, just to bring distraction, to take us out. But Jesus overcame the enemy. And we can see that here. He was able to cast out evil spirits. He was able to overcome. He has overcome for us. And so the victory that he won there is still the same today. Here. Right now, in your life, in this place, in Horsham. His authority is the same today. So, you know what that means? You and I don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live under bondage. We don't need to live under condemnation. We don't need to live feeling like we're nothing, useless, worthless, a worm. You don't need to live like that because he has overcome for us. And it's wonderful. He's won the victory and we have it because of what he did for us on the cross. Let's just take time to think about that. Wow. Be amazed. Be thankful. Come simply this morning to thank him. Matthew 15. Another attribute of God is that he has a power and authority over illness. Matthew 15. Great to hear what Mary was saying about seeing somebody come out of a wheelchair. Wow, that is. And I've seen miraculous healings like that. And actually, Wonderful when those miracles happen. They're really faith-building and encouraging. So Matthew 15, verse 31. It says that, and the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking and the crippled made well, the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Wow. Amazing. You know, Jesus in his life went around doing some miraculous things, and they're recorded for us in the Bible. You know, Jesus is still doing those things today. He's still doing those things. People are being set free. People are getting saved. People are getting healed in their physical bodies. It's amazing. I've seen those things. It's, you know, and sometimes, you know, we will lay hands upon people, and sometimes God will bring the healing, and sometimes we'll pray, and sometimes we have to keep. It doesn't happen straight away, and sometimes we have to just continue to trust God for healing, because it's actually Him that does the healing. But God said that for us as Christians, that we should lay hands upon the sick and believe that they're going to get healed. It's amazing. How would you like to see somebody who couldn't speak, who was mute, suddenly start to see? Yeah. I remember seeing a video of a girl who was blind, and then she got prayed for and she could see. And it was wonderful to see her reaction. Just amazing to see the reaction on her face. Seeing things for the first time, actually seeing her mum and dad for the first time was incredible. I've only got a couple more things, so we might even finish early today. So praise the Lord. That would be good. Yeah. Another thing is that Jesus has the power over death and hell. You know, a spirit of death or fear of death is something that really can be so crippling for people. John 11, verse 43 and verse 44. He says, and when he had said these things, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. That's pretty hardcore, isn't it? I mean, that is, you know, in a tomb, coming out of a tomb. I mean, that's about as serious as it gets. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And you know, this was an amazing miracle, because he'd been dead for a few days. This wasn't just like he just passed out, or he wasn't just like freshly gone. This was like, you know, he was like seriously bad news. And but Jesus spoke and he said, come forth. And it's quite a thing to get our minds around, isn't it? How does that work? But this man that was dead, he came alive, because Jesus has the power over death and hell. An amazing miracle. So Jesus just said to him, dead, come out. And Lazarus came out. There was another account of a girl that was raised to life. This is in Mark 5. We can just quickly go there. I love this story. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there are accounts and there are parables, so where Jesus would teach and he would tell a story, but it wouldn't be a true story, but it would be a story to teach a scriptural principle. But this isn't a parable. This is like a real account of something that happened. Mark 5, verse 20-21. It says there, and now Jesus again crossed over by boat to the other side. of the lake, and a large crowd gathered around him while he was led by the lake. And one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there, seeing Jesus, fell at his feet, and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him, and he turned round and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Let's go down to verse 35. And then while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said to them, "What is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the father's child and mother and disciples who were with him, and they went in where the child was. He took her by the hand, and he said to her, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished, but he gave strict orders not to tell anyone to know about this, and they told them to give her something to eat. Wow. How amazing is that? You don't need to worry about dying. He's overcome death and hell. And these accounts show and prove and tell just of how glorious, how wonderful, how amazing this Jesus is that we serve. Are you getting some idea about this incredible, wonderful character of who he is? Wow. And lastly, Matthew 28, well, not lastly, but moving to the end, Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is a very well-known scripture, 28 verse 18. Then Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey all things I have commanded you, and surely I am with you even to the very end of the age." So Jesus has all authority. That is plain, simple. I just want to state that, to encourage you, to put that position back in our lives again, that Jesus has all authority. There is nothing that is too difficult, too problematic. There's nothing that can overshadow who he is. All authority has been given to Jesus. He's the God that we worship. It's him that we come. And the Bible says that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus is the one that has power and influence over all things. He is the God that we're worshipping. How amazing is our God. And I'll just finish with one last one, which is John 10, verse 11. Because I want us to be amazed at his love for you, his love for me and you. John 10, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep." Wow. Let's just think about that, actually. Do I really think I deserve God's love? Do you think you deserve God's love, knowing who we are? But actually, God chooses to love us. I was listening to, anybody heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Yes. Yeah, I was listening to him recently, and he said that Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. Interesting. But he said, you know, Jesus, when he spoke about hell, he didn't threaten anybody. Because he said, you know what you do with an enemy? You threaten your enemy. He said, but you know what you do with a friend? You warn. You talk about. And that was Jesus's heart. You know, he classes us as friends. He doesn't threaten us. There's no threats. But when he's talking about actually heaven and hell, it's he's warning us. He's laying out the facts for us. This is the decision. This is life and death, but I want you to have life. I want you to choose life. You know, the Bible says actually that nobody has even the opportunity to choose God, but God steps in and makes it possible for us to have relationship with him. Just amazing. What is amazing, though, is that, you know, if something happened, if my child ran out into the road, if we've got children, we would give our lives, wouldn't we? We would run into the road, pull our children back, and we would take the hit. We would. Would you do that for somebody who was an enemy? If there was somebody that had really hurt me or wronged me, and they were in the road, and there was a truck coming down the road, would I jump in the road and pull them out and be willing to die on their behalf? But that's the amazing thing about God's love, is that's exactly what Jesus did for us, is that he took that punishment of death, even when we were enemies of his. I mean, that is incredible. Outstanding, extravagant love, isn't it? We can just think about that just for a moment. That's the wonder of the God that we serve. So, two things, just as we finish. There were some things, actually, that we've looked about how Jesus amazed people, but there were two things that amazed Jesus. And one was when people had great faith. It talks about that Jesus was amazed. And it talks about also that he was amazed when people had little faith as well. And so I just want to encourage us that there's a big difference between having an understanding about God and a religious understanding about God, but not having a personal hope in God ourselves. Because actually when Jesus was talking, he was talking about the religious leaders of the time, but they lacked faith in Jesus. You know, to know this Jesus is absolutely amazing, incredible, wonderful, the best thing. So I want to encourage you, you know, to how about us living every day in awe and excitement of this incredible God? And you know, when we start to live like that, things change and happen in our lives. As we start to live in that simple appreciation of God's love and God's blessings and what is all of those different characteristics of what he's done for us, you know, it's gonna bubble up and we're gonna want to let me tell you about this message I heard on Sunday. about this incredible God that we serve. I mean, you might not, the other guys in your workplace might not even know that you're a Christian, but on Monday, go for it. Go and tell them. Say, wow, I want to encourage you about this incredible God that I know, that I'm in relationship. And you know what? I know him, but most of all, he knows me, and it is so fantastic. So are we living in amazement of Jesus? I'll leave that with you. If not, God wants us to put the focus back onto him. It's a simple message this morning. It's not difficult, not complicated, not hard to understand. But it's all about just keeping it simple. Simply Jesus.